Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
G&D, 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, Pete, for getting us up to speed. Everything going on in sports. Second hour is underway. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are wide open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. What does it tell you that the Redskins were interested in Joe Flacco? Reports out of Denver that the reason the Broncos moved very quickly was that there was another team involved in that team.
Competition.
Was Washington. Sky on Twitter says, do you think Denver is as dumb for actually trading for him as others? John Elway is enamored by Flacco. Last time I checked, Elway is held in high regard around the league. I talk about winning the lottery all the time, but it doesn't mean I actually believe it will happen. I don't really know what you're talking about on the last part of that analogy. I got lost somewhere there. But nobody at this point is enamored with John Elway, the quarterback evaluator. Nobody. He gave money to Brock Osweiler. They were wrong to do so. He drafted Paxton Lynch. I mean, this organization, dating back to when they took Tim Tebow in the first round, has probably been as bad at the quarterback spot as anybody. They struck gold when Peyton Manning, because of his relationship with John Elway, chose to go to Denver and reinvented passing statistics for a few years that nobody was posting in a ridiculous offense. It just so happens that the year they actually won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, he was pretty terrible. And down the stretch was a liability.
Was benched that season, by the way, at one point.
Yes, he was. Their defense was phenomenal, though. And Elway, as an executive outside of QB, has done a pretty solid job. And for a couple of years, did a great job building the defensive side of the ball. Here's the issue, Danny. When you are an NFL GM and you have to say, other than quarterback, you've done a good job, that's not how grading works.
It overshadows
everything.
It's
like the equivalent of me saying, as a student, other than when you have standardized tests or homework, you've done pretty well. That's how your grade comes in. That's where it comes from.
Right. I just can't write essays. Other than that, okay, well, that's a big deal. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, who you mentioned, Osweiler, they basically have gone with five different quarterbacks that are over 6'6", and then Flacco's another one. They love the big, tall, goofy, unathletic zilch that can't do it. By the way, just as a brief anecdote, was in the greater Baltimore area for a lot of this weekend for my mother-in-law's birthday. Been a nice celebration. It was wonderful. Big surprise party. It was cool. So I got a lot of 105.7, a lot of Baltimore. The amount of, you know, people didn't understand how good Flacco was. You got to go back and see what he meant. I mean, you got a 2014. That was a terrible A-line. He was great that year. But you got to go back and, I mean, you think about Ray Rice that year. You know, he wasn't good. But Flacco, he's a winner. All he's ever done is win.
The amount of social media nonsense I got after that trade. Told me what? That a team would take on Joe Flacco, won a Super Bowl a few years ago? Yeah, that's what teams do. It's stupid. They'll regret it. He's terrible. Told me what? That he's been good in the last four seasons? Because newsflash, he hasn't been at any point. I always like going back and just finding a guy's best season. There's not a great year on that ledger, by the way. There's not one season by today's NFL standards where he put up big numbers. He's thrown for 4,000 yards one time. He has thrown for 28 touchdown passes zero times.
Zero.
In fact, if you look for over 25 touchdowns, he's done it once in a career that spans 11 seasons at this point. It's ridiculous. Now, has he been throwing picks lately? Not too many. No, he was 13 picks in 16 games last year, 15 picks the year before that, 12 the two seasons before that. Again, Tyrod Taylor, Alex Smith, we've talked about this. If you love no picks at the expense of offense, points, yards, he could be your guy. It's a lot of running backs and tight ends underneath. It's very little stretching the field. That could be for you.
Now,
not for me.
Would his numbers have been better if they had quality receiving talent? If that organization, their blind spot is wide receiver. A lot of Kamar Akins. A lot of high draft pick guys that just can't do it. They either get 38-year-old Anquan Boldin, 42-year-old Steve Smith, Mike Wallace, who's 127 years old.
Steve Smith was tremendous.
He was still pretty good there, by the way.
He was. Mike Wallace was very solid. In fact, this year was in the last 2 years, I should say, was still very solid. Yes, they should have had more receiving help for him.
My point is, if they had better weapons, his numbers would be slightly better.
But there's a devil's advocate to that, which is part of why their receivers never develop.
Of course.
And part of why their receivers we always think of are terrible is because the quarterback doesn't use them properly.
And I'm getting there.
If you're Alex Smith's wide receiver, you're worse than you would be with another quarterback.
Right.
You can't develop wide receivers at the same rate with Alex Smith as you could an adult quarterback who throws to them.
This is my point. If he had Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and name your best slot receiver in the history of the world, he'd have better numbers than this. He would still be the 20th best quarterback in the league. He's been bad. He's bad. The league moved on, and a couple teams haven't. The defense of him is ridiculous because the dumb people that want to do record because he won a Super Bowl that time, he's 41-41 over since that Super Bowl.
My favorite one, my favorite Flacco bit that I got from a lot of people with purple and black avatars over the weekend. And I purposefully haven't tweeted about this really since the news broke. I'm not engaging because everyone says you're trolling. It's not trolling to just talk about a guy's numbers being terrible. That's not trolling. That's just evaluating football.
That's not what trolling is.
However, I'm out on this, and I'm not engaging Ravens fans on this. It's not worth my time. But the big thing I keep seeing is he beat Tom Brady, .. I don't do the quarterback beat another quarterback thing. Or the Joe Flacco beat the Patriots. I don't play that game.
They did. The Ravens won a road game in New England.
It was a great game.
Not many people have done that, by the way. That was awesome.
They are really good when it comes to playing New England in the playoffs. They are a stiff test. They're a good challenge. Luke is in Leesburg on Grant and Danny. When you heard that the Redskins were the team that forced the Broncos' hand into making a quick trade for Joe Flacco because of their interest, what'd you think?
It made me hurt to the core. Like, I'm utterly confused because we think they're trying to put together a football team that can win games, but they're in a space where they got to put fans in the stadium, and they think Joe Flacco is going to do that? You think fans are going to come out and see Joe Flacco? You got to be kidding me.
I love it. You know what's funny, Luke, is I had not even considered it from that perspective. I haven't gotten past the football part of this yet, which is that it would be a horrific football decision. I hadn't thought about the fan base part of this. Is there even a faction of Redskins fans that would have been excited about that trade?
Yes is the answer. They tweet me all the time. You've got most of them muted.
How many?
I don't know the number.
I don't think that many.
Oh, they're out there.
He's not putting butts in seats.
They are
no chance.
Grant, they're representative of a group, and there's a Facebook group that's like Redskins Faux Life, and it's like an FO, but there's the number 4 in there somehow. I'm telling you, there's tons of people that care. They're the same people that couldn't let go of Robert Griffin, the same people that resented
Joe Flacco?
Yes, because he won a Super Bowl that time. I'm telling you, you don't get how these people work because you use rationality. I'm irrational. I speak their language.
I just don't believe that there are that many people that would be excited about this. I think this would be a net negative.
Of course it would be.
I'm talking about, not football, fan base.
The rank and file?
I think that if you're taking every Redskins fan left and you're putting them into one room, and then American Idol style, if you have the golden ticket, you go to room A, and if you have no ticket, you go to room B, and we're going to sort it out that way. Everyone has to go in one of two directions. I think it would be like a 90-10 split of people that would be mad about a Joe Flacco trade.
If you're doing a sample, right, as people do for polling and they figure out like approval rating and dumb stuff that like fluctuates based on like how much money a guy's got in his pocket or how close to payday it was, and everyone acts like it's this big scientific thing, you took 1,000 of like your cross-section of Redskins fans, I'm telling you, I think it's 200 people would go, he won a Super Bowl. He's out of that bad organization. He's with us now. They won't look at data. They won't look at information. That doesn't matter. He won a Super Bowl in 2012. He beat Tom Brady, though. He was a winner, though. He knows how to win. He just needed a better situation. Jay Gruden will give it to him.
Daryl Woodbridge, you're on the fan. How's it going?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, Grant, man, I got to stop you. Like, I'm a hardcore Redskins fan. But, yo, you be killing Joe Flacco. Like, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. But he's definitely not one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. His receiving core sucks on every.
He's
pretty
a
much
big
outside
part of why his receiving core sucks.
But you also have to say, oh yeah, like his coaching staff fails to, like just like the Chargers game. Every time you can watch a Ravens game, they have the most predictable play calling ever. So when you have a predictable
play calling, five offensive coordinators with him. Every one of them was stupid.
Let's see. Didn't one of them get fired from LSU?
Was Cam Cameron fired from LSU? I don't know. My point is, it's been a bunch of wide receivers. It's been a bunch of offensive coordinators. How is it possible you can play in the league for 11 years and never have a great season?
Can you name any of the wide receivers outside of Steve Smith and Anquan Boldin that were relatively good? Torrey Smith was just a burner. That's it. Once he lost his
Torrey Smith was a very solid receiver for them for a couple years. Mike Wallace was a formidable, solid, deep threat, good wide receiver for them for a couple years. He had John Brown beginning of his season. Good deep threat.
Mike Wallace played for him for 1 year, so how can you say a couple of years? And that was last year.
Okay.
Two years ago now, two football seasons ago. And he wasn't that solid.
He was on the Ravens in 2016 and 2017, which is why I said a couple of years. He had a 1,000-yard season in 2016. He had a 750-yard year in 2017.
So you're telling me 750 yards is a solid season? Like,
yeah,
yo, if you
but
have
I'm
terrible
also telling you he was there 2 years, which you said he wasn't. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yes, that's a solid season. 750 yards in a season? The Redskins haven't had a wide receiver do that the last couple of years. I think 50-plus catches for 750 yards is a solid season.
And Derek Mason
also,
early in Flacco's
I'm not telling
career.
You his numbers are solid. I'm telling you he's a solid wide receiver. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Ravens have a weakness, okay? It's a good organization. It's much better than the Redskins. It's not apples to apples, okay? I would take their failings over ours any day of the week.
Right.
The point is, they've got weaknesses. They can't get the receiver position right. Where we're lucky is we get the left tackle position right. No matter what's going on, we've had two Hall of Fame left tackles back-to-back. They can't do receiver. They haven't evaluated it for bleep over years. But there have been guys that have been fine. They're all watered down and worse playing with Joe Flacco.
I don't remember saying he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, by the way. I said it would be a terrible idea to trade for him, and he stinks. I stand by both of those things.
I'm saying last year he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
He got benched, by the way, for a rookie who can't throw a forward pass. That's what happened last year. But what I am saying is there's two groups of quarterbacks. Quarterbacks you can win with and quarterbacks you cannot. Joe Flacco is not in the first group at this point, period. And oh, by the way, he's 34 and cost you as much money as anybody in the league at his position. Have fun with that if you want to do that. It's a terrible idea, and the fact that the Redskins even considered that idea for 1 second is infuriating to me. And you should be offended by it as a Redskins fan.
Should be upset.
In a world where everyone gets offended by dumb things, this is something you should actually be offended by.
This is offense worthy.
This is an egregious assault against you and your character.
I generally say don't be offended. This is a good time to be offended.
Be very offended.
Be upset.
Grant and Danny on the fan.
Grant and Danny for Window Nation Air Horn. Say goodbye to Jay Flacco. It's the final week of the season. Excuse me, final week of the offseason for deals at Window Nation. Get free windows, free financing, and have your electric bill paid until your windows are installed. But hurry, this is that final week. Offseason is the best time to buy. And Window Nation knows this too. And they're offering this amazing deal. You buy two windows, you get two free, and you get 0% financing for 5 full years.
There is no limit. Plus, during the final week, purchase a house of windows. And Window Nation is going to pay your heating bill until your new windows are installed. You're going to save thousands. Window Nation does room-by-room install to cause as little disturbance as possible. Plus, they're paying your heating bill. Window Nation needs to keep the factory busy and their installers working during the slower months. And after this nasty cold weather, you probably need new windows. This is the final week of our season, and it's the seasonal deal of the year. Call 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com. Danny, you're getting two free windows for every two you buy. No limit. 0% financing, 5 full years. And if you call 866-90-NATION, you can talk to them about those energy bills.
Tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Couple of calls here to wrap up on Joe Flacco. And then I want to get into Anthony Davis with you, Danny, and the New Orleans Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty stunning and fascinating story out of the NBA.
It is growing hair, and it is awkward.
It's going to be groundbreaking one way or the other in terms of the direction of the association and what teams are and are not allowed to do with their players moving forward. As far as you know that a guy's not going to be around, you want to trade them. You want to keep them healthy to trade them. There's a year and a half left on a guy's deal. Can you just bench him when he's healthy? Is that within your rights? The league wants to fine the Pelicans a huge amount of money every night. So we'll get into that on G&D here on The Fan. 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet us. Danny's at Funny Danny.
Grant is at Grant H. Paulson. Don't forget that H.
Scott's in King George, one of the great counties in the Commonwealth.
Scott's using the phone.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Bob.
All right, for full disclosure, I'm a full-on diehard Ravens fan. I was glad to see Flacco leave. I was worried if the Redskins were going to get him because you already mentioned that he got benched for a guy that couldn't throw a forward pass. If the pocket collapses around Flacco, you can count on that ball coming on the ground. It would have been a horrible mistake for the Redskins to try to get him.
I agree with you completely. Thank you. I don't know how there's a Ravens fan in King George, by the way. I never met a Ravens fan in King George. That's Redskins country very firmly down there in Virginia. Mm-hmm. This here is Virginia.
Maybe he sort of moved from... Cause you
I think he must have.
Because it touches Maryland in a way that most people can't comprehend.
Here's my almost, guess. I'm going to do a little guesswork as a guy who knows a thing or two about the King George
County. Please, I'm defer to the expert.
I believe, as a former Grand Marshal of the King George County Fall Festival...
The Grand Marshal, everybody.
...that he moved to King George... for work on the naval base, perhaps, from somewhere in Maryland.
Yes, of course.
And lives in King George now as a Maryland native who was from Ravens country originally. A Sky says, didn't he lose his job because of injury? You said he got benched for a guy who can't throw a forward pass. It was more of a popularity decision, which isn't a football decision. He did initially come off the field for injury. That is true. He was healthy and didn't get his job back. You call that whatever you want. They decided that... Lamar Jackson, who is a one-trick pony at this point, would take them further than Joe Flacco. And they correctly decided that. Lamar Jackson should have started. He gave them a better chance to win. They became an exceptional team running the football. They couldn't be defended at the line of scrimmage, a la the Redskins in 2012. And they won a playoff game, got to the playoffs, I should say, because of Lamar Jackson's ability to do that.
Patrick Doherty of Roto-World tweeted the following last week. Everybody knows Joe Flacco was bad. Apparently not everybody. But I think sometimes we don't realize he's remarkably bad. Among quarterbacks to make at least 51 starts over the past 4 years, the number that Flacco has made, he's last in TD percentage, last in yards per attempt, and last in quarterback rating at 82.7. It's a nightmarish trade. Again, you can make every excuse that you want. Those numbers would improve with better talent around him. Absolutely. It's true for every quarterback that's ever lived,
by the way. I was going to say, you can make a lot of quarterbacks better by just giving them great players.
Over 4 years,
how much
he's last.
Better?
4 years last. 4 years last. 4 years last. Huge sample. Huge sample. Huge sample. Huge sample. 4 years last. 4 years last. The worst. Yards per attempt at 6.3. Over 4 years, not 1 week against a great defense. He didn't play the Bears 51 times.
He stinks.
Last in 6.3 is absurd.
By the way, he got benched by the team that just traded him. Like, people are acting like we're just saying this about a guy who started 16 games and made the playoffs last year, and his team won 10 games. He wasn't a starter at the end of the year. There are 32 of them in the league. He wasn't one of them. You think they wanted to eat all that money to watch him sit there and not talk to Lamar Jackson on the bench? You think they were cool with that? Hey, it's cool that you're one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. I'm sure they drafted Lamar Jackson in the first round because everything was good with Flacco. I'm sure they spent a first round pick as a team trying to win
now. Trade back into the first round.
Trade up to go get a guy at 32 because Joe Flacco's good. I think that's why they did it. I think you guys are on to something. Bo in Ashburn, how's it going?
Hey, Bo.
So, guys, real quick, just a devil's advocate of why it made sense to entertain it with a quick liability statement as well. I don't agree with what's going on at One Loudon, and I know this is going to sound like I'm giving them way too much credit.
Now, when you say One Loudon, is that just a botch, or do you mean Redskins Park, or do you mean that they are getting in fights and getting drunk?
No. Sorry, that's a botch. I meant Redskins.
Because you're not wrong. That's the thing.
I thought you're like, I don't agree with Monte Nicholson knocking people out.
Let's have guys not go to One Loudon for a weekend.
I love One Loudon. I just had to defend One Loudon as someone who really likes Matchbox and some of the delicious restaurants there, like Copperwood Tavern.
Fair enough. So the point I'd like to make is it's really draft season right now, and I think it may have been a ploy to go ahead and shuffle the deck a little bit and removing Denver out of the picture going for a draft pick. Obviously, we have to wait and see how it shakes out, but they have been better at drafting recently, and this could have been one of those, hey, let's put some pressure on them. I don't think there was any realistic opportunity to get Flacco, but it did make Denver move on it quickly. And if that's the case, then maybe it's a stroke of genius, perhaps on accident.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate it. Man, do I hope you're right.
If that's true, egg on this face right here, I'm pointing at mine.
If that's true, it's so genius.
What a coup.
And they're just a bunch of savants that are three steps ahead of everyone else. I'm going to bet against that.
But let me tell you something. If somehow that comes out that it's true, I wouldn't believe it, honestly, because it's Bruce the Boob doing it. But if somehow we'd learn, like unequivocally, dude, this gambit we ran, like in a book 10 years from now, we ran this end run on the Denver Broncos. We tricked those SOBs into trading for Joe Flacco, and we had a plan all along. I'll find a bell and ring it for my own shame.
Darburst, you buying that?
The Redskins can't even mastermind trading for their own quarterback, but they somehow figured out a way to convince another team to trade for a quarterback. So they don't draft a quarterback, even though there's no guarantee that there's a draft pick for the Redskins to take that is a quarterback at their draft pick. That's
deep.
That's something. Remember, Bruce Allen masterminded, quote unquote. That was a quote.
Yes.
The Reuben Foster signing. He masterminded.
He did mastermind that. I want to go back.
I mean the waiver
again,
claim?
I'm not joning because we say stuff all the time, but I just love the idea of a zing here where like that guy's like, I don't agree with what's happening at One Loud.
I don't like the development.
He's like, you know, Alamo Drafthouse only has four showings of what men want. I don't agree with what they're doing at the Alamo Drafthouse at One Loudon.
Too many chain restaurants right now. I want individual things.
The Lego Movie 2, the second part, the earliest showing today was 11 a.m. I don't like what they're doing.
I don't
over
like
there.
What they're doing.
I wanted it a 10:45 showing. And also, Monte Nicholson's dad have a little trouble. Next, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. Player versus team. The NBA is involved. This is going to have ramifications for the Wizards and every other club in the sport. G&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Our double play at 11:45. I've got my power rankings for The Bachelor after last night's big episode. What do you have, Danny?
I got an appetizer that I need more of. I need more of it. I don't know why it's not ubiquitous. This is in addition to my stance that...
Is it a healthy app or non-healthy app?
It's not terribly healthy. In addition to my stance that stuffing should be available year-round, that's the star of Thanksgiving. It's not the boring, tasteless, dumb bird that's a gravy conveyance system. Stuffing is the star. It's just a bunch of bread with different kinds of flavor in it, including like gravies and stuff. This side dish should be done more often. It's delicious.
Okay. I hope an idea that I haven't come up with and never dreamt of.
Is it a side dish or an appetizer? Because you said both.
It's a great question. It's usually classified as an appy. The standard usage of this thing is an appetizer.
You can get it as a side. You can have it
on the side. I've got some right here.
Every restaurant right now, you can get generally Brussels sprouts as a side.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll order Brussels sprouts as our appetizer almost anywhere that serves them as a side. It's not on the appetizer menu, but we'll sit down. I'll get a nice tea. She'll get a Shirley Temple. Anything for an appetizer, and we'll take some Brussels sprouts, please. Not a lot of places.
You mean the side of Brussels sprouts, sir? You want that to come out first?
You cook them up, fry them up, whatever. Ideally, they're a little healthier, but point is, let's eat some Brussels sprouts. Let's get this thing started.
Let's get going.
So our double play coming up at 11:45. Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans are walking a road right now there's a lot of cars coming behind them in the next several years that want to know exactly what happens here. I'll give the cliff notes in as few amount of words as possible. Anthony Davis has a year and a half left on his contract. He's not a free agent until after next season. He wants to play for the Lakers, but more importantly, he wants out of New Orleans. New Orleans wants to trade him, but didn't want to trade him at the deadline. They want to trade him this offseason. The Pelicans would like to bench him until the end of the season now so that he doesn't get hurt. He was playing the other night after they decided to play him for the remainder of the year, and he got hurt. Even though it was a very small, minor thing, it was very scary for a moment. Ended up playing in 5 or 6 minutes in the All-Star game over the weekend. He's just fine. But The NBA has told the Pelicans they're going to fine them six figures for every single game that he DNPs healthy. In other words, they will not allow the Pelicans to sit Anthony Davis. The Pelicans are getting shafted every which way here.
They are getting screwed.
They've got a superstar who doesn't want to be there. They've done nothing really wrong. They've got a league telling them they have to play this guy and risk his injury and maybe getting less back in a trade. They're not allowed to do anything in the way of moving him because the trade deadline has come and gone. So they have to wait till the offseason to do so. They've got to play him in the meantime. That's not what's best for their business. For their business right now, I know you hate the word tanking, people, but tanking is what benefits them. Being as bad as possible, Anthony Davis on the floor less, getting a better draft pick, positioning yourself better this offseason to have assets and to pick higher on the board. So they're not being allowed to do what's best for them. They're not allowed to do what's best for a trade for Anthony Davis this offseason because the league's telling them we're going to fine you every single night and you have to think about us, the NBA. They don't want a precedent at the league headquarters where we've already got this, where a guy's gone in a few weeks and we're going to start resting them on back-to-backs and doing some of these things. We'll get some healthy nights off. It's already a problem for the NBA. But for a year and a half out, we're going to do this?
For a year and a half, man.
What about 2.5 years out? So there's three parties. Where do you weigh in? The NBA fining the Pelicans. The Pelicans wanting to trade Davis. They've done nothing wrong. They're the victim in a lot of this. Davis, who seems like a good dude, who's never had a choice where he's going to play. He's a jerk now. I was asked yesterday, why is Anthony Davis such a jerk? I don't think he's that much of a jerk. Why does he want to leave? I mean, it's a bad look for him. It's a bad look when all your superstars are not liked because they all want to go to different teams. How do we sort this out?
So the NBA is trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube because in a league that's done such a good job, and the reason it's grown to the second biggest globally, just behind the NFL here, at least in America, is their ability to market and empower stars. This is the downside of that. This is the downside of that. When, and this is speaking in, fairly dehumanizing terms here for a second, so bear with me. But when you allow the commodity, a.k.a. the player, to start dictating things like this more and more often, guys meet up, guys that are represented by the same agent, in this case, Rich Paul, super teams want to get formed, and buddies want to play with buddies, and there are only so few of these great players that transform franchises available, you get this kind of chaos. This was inevitable. When you allowed LeBron James to call a meeting to order of the three guys in Miami and hold a big celebration and have them be trotted out as the star and the show pony of the league, this was inevitable. Carmelo Anthony did it. Jimmy Butler has done it. Paul George has done it. Everybody. And now it's going to start happening earlier and earlier and earlier. The reason the NFL is so successful is players, I mean, and again, this sucks because I'm usually an advocate for players here, but bear with me. Part of the reason the NFL is so successful is the players have more restrictive conditions placed on them. They have fewer rights a lot of times. And yes, that stinks for the individual, but for the greater good, it's better for leagues. When you allow this much autonomy, this much control, the league gets screwed over at large. Now, back to this situation specifically. The NBA wants to fix it. They don't know how to fix it. They're going to impose an unrealistic and unfair penalty on New Orleans, who to me is the innocent victim in all this. New Orleans is just trying to field a good team. Now, this year didn't work out. Last year, they were the darlings of the playoffs. They were really impressive. Jrue Holiday had his coming out party. This group was really good. They were impressive. This year, they've gone to the tank for whatever reason. I haven't followed them that closely, but it's just not working out. Rich Paul, LeBron James, this group behind the scenes, they're the true villains here. Okay? You can demand a trade. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar demanded a trade for Milwaukee years ago to go to Los Angeles. He told them privately, I'll show up to work every day, do whatever I can. Behind the scenes, please try to work with them. What you do when you publicly say, whether it's on record or not, I want to go to Los Angeles. You've now screwed over your team's leverage. New Orleans needs to be able to conduct business. When teams act as minor league affiliates for the big groups, the New Yorks, the LAs, the occasional the Bostons or the Miamis or whatever, the league suffers. The league at large is suffering here. The Pelicans suffer here on both ends of this. And Anthony Davis, is just sort of skating by until he can get what he wants. It stinks. It's really unfair.
It's bad. But this is a huge problem the NBA has because I don't see an end in sight. I don't have a good answer here. I know that's not great radio to come on and say, yeah, I don't know who's in the right or who's in the wrong. I just know it's icky. But that's kind of where I'm at. Anthony Davis isn't necessarily doing anything wrong, in my opinion, to your point, by wanting a trade. I think a year and a half out, the execution of this, it's getting old, it's getting exhausting, it makes him less likable. But he's just following a path that's been carved out for him many times over.
It's now a little earlier than it's been.
Right.
It used to be, oh, last year I'm not going to resign with you, so you better do something. Jimmy Butler, Paul George, you can go down the list. Carmelo Anthony forced a trade to New York, made it worse for Denver. But this is the earliest that I can remember it. Basically, I got 2 years left. I don't want to be here anymore.
And I also get both sides of it for the NBA, too. I mean, the NBA, you can't have a situation where a bunch of healthy stars might be just sat because they're going to be on a different team next year. That's a bad, bad deal for your product.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, tonight there's 14 games going on in the NBA. Six of the top 25 players aren't playing because at the end of the year they might be elsewhere. Teams need to protect those guys so that they can trade them for the most possible. That can't happen.
No.
So I understand wanting to find the Pelicans. And I get more than anything the Pelicans' plight here. I understand that they're saying, wait a second.
Do you agree with me that they're the most screwed in all this?
There's no doubt about that. They're getting screwed by the player and the league.
Yes.
The league is saying, we don't really care about what's best for you. We need what's best for the NBA. The player doesn't care about them at all by demanding the trade. There's no winning for them at all here. So I feel worse for them. And I guess I feel, after that, second worse for the NBA because Davis is the one kind of dictating and manipulating terms. At the end of the day, I hate summing it up this way, and I'm going to sound like someone I can't stand when I say this because I am pro-player 99% of the time. I'm the old Dolphin Stadium. Good pull, by the way.
Pro-player stadium.
You sleep on that. Anthony Davis is getting paid a lot of money to be a superstar in an awesome city. Gut it out, man. Figure it out for a year and a half. Is this his rookie contract or is this his second contract?
Great question.
I think this is his second contract,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'd have to check that because I think he was Reese.
Tommy's saying it's his second.
Yeah, there's an extra signing with the first round pick
that he's into.
Yeah.
So, sorry, man. I mean, you got a contract. Like, go play basketball. And I understand that sometimes players don't get to choose things, but this isn't his rookie deal. At some point, he opted back in. Decided, I'm going to be here. There's only so much feel bad for me for him. I feel worse for the team. And the NBA's got to do something. I know that it's hurting them because my view on the league is more cynical than it's ever been just because everything's about shoes and outfits and who's going to play where in 2 years.
Yeah, I told you this. I've
nothing's about basketball.
I'm a huge basketball and NBA mark. I've never been more turned off by the league than I am right now. And this is not...
Which stinks because the league itself, you got guys like Giannis. I mean, it's fun. Good things going on.
And I know in general my persona is old man shaking fist at the ocean complaining about the tide. I'm telling you, I love the NBA. I've never been more turned off than I am right now.
JB says, I don't agree that Davis has done nothing wrong. He signed an extension in 2015. If he didn't want to be there, he shouldn't have signed. Yeah, I guess that's where I'm coming around on this too. If anyone did anything wrong, it's him, right? I guess my general opinion is, you know, Bryce Harper has done nothing wrong. He was under contract with the Nats and couldn't get out of that contract until now.
Yeah, I mean, if he's...
It's different
if he's,
that Anthony Davis opted back in and said, yeah, I'll be there until 2021.
If 2 years ago Bryce Harper's agitating for a trade, basically saying, I don't want to be here anymore, then yeah, he did something wrong. You complete your deal and you go to free agency. This, to me, is the power brokers behind the scenes, the Rich Pauls of the world, and Clutch Sports manipulating franchises and having too much sway. It's the Boris effect. It's the you know, LeBron's agency effect. That, to me, is the real sinister part of this thing that's going on. Poisoning the waters of teams able to do good business.
Way too much sway, Callaway. Far, far too much.
Sway Callaway, I should know that. Sway Callaway, what's that from?
That's the guy from, like, MTV and the X Games. You don't remember Sway?
Oh, just Sway. Wow. I didn't know his last name was Callaway.
So I think his last name's Callaway.
Is that real?
Pretty sure. I'll look it up. We got time to do that. Because next, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports on Grant and Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on the day that we're still waiting to find out what's going to happen with Bryce Harper Day? And maybe you'll go to spring training tomorrow if you can get your flight in the air with the snow and the sleet, but you're probably not going today.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on day after we just missed on Flacco Day? Son of a bee sting. I thought we had him.
Would have had 12 wins this year if we brought in that winner.
What do winners do? They win. We would have won it.
I know last year we didn't win even though we brought in a winner, but that's because there was an injury. Otherwise, we'd be hoisting Lombardi's trophy right now.
We were close. We're 6-3, four kind of really more 6-3, but we lost that game. Whatever the point is, we were right there.
Every day at 11:45, your double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Because I'm going to be breaking down The Bachelor for my double play. I'll go second so that, it might force some people probably to turn off their radio. So why don't we
enjoy
a couple more minutes of listenership with you, and then I'll kind of kill everything for a couple minutes after
that. Because I'm usually like, let me get the medicine out of the way first. Let me get the salad out of the way before I can enjoy my meal. But
right.
That's smart because we're on the radio. I'm going to reach into my bag. This is what I have for my lunch today. It's just a bowl of crab dip. It's a bowl of crab dip.
What are you going to use as your opportunity? You know, what are you dipping into it? What are you getting the crab dip into your mouth with?
This crab dip is so good, I'm just using a spoon.
Oh.
Going direct to video with the crab dip. It's fantastic. Here's what's involved. Crab, everyone knows. Cream cheese. A couple other things, I'm sure. This thing is awesome. We had it at the surprise party for my mother-in-law. And that basically, I'm not holding it up. I'm not participating in whatever
Shorts
bit this
was trying
is.
To get a picture. Well, I think I know what's happening behind the scenes here. If I may, real quick, before you continue.
Okay.
I think what's happening is, because you claimed that this is like something that's never been on a menu as an appetizer.
No, that's not what I said.
And
I want more of it.
You want more of it, but crab dip is on the menu as an appetizer at almost every sports bar and, like, almost every place.
Yeah.
It's frozen, and then they just kind of heat it up, and it's there, and it's delicious. But if I may, real quick.
Please.
I was listening, gentlemen, on my way to dinner when you guys – and by the way, you guys were out on your own segment, the audio segment you played on the show this weekend on Bit Day. So they have this folder, least surprising thing ever, by the way, where anytime anyone makes a mistake or says anything – they have a folder that they keep all this funny audio in. And then they have a segment, and I think it's genius and it's incredible. What did you call the segment, by the way?
We called it Emptying Out the Funny Clips Folder.
Right. I think it's great.
It's a good
now,
idea,
I don't
actually.
Know if it was a bit or not, but they were kind of against it the whole time, and they're like, I don't know if this is funny. I thought it was...
No, because there were some real landmines on that clip sheet.
Okay. Well, it was tremendous. I would like to just say that you completely took the clip about me out of context. They pretended like I So the clip says, do you have the clip by chance?
I can find it.
Find the clip. Allison and I had this party one time. I think it was for like Christmas 2 years ago.
Okay.
And my point in this clip was that I was saying that I've never seen anyone do this. She made, and it was chicken and waffles. Okay. And then they went on this rant about how I've never heard of chicken and waffles. And I thought I invented chicken and waffles. My point was, you tell me, have you ever been to a party where as a finger food on the table instead of like a meatball, You've got a tiny Eggo and a tiny piece of, like, chicken from Chick-fil-A on a toothpick as a walk-around food that you eat in one bite.
Once, and I thought it was the most genius thing that ever happened.
Right. So my point was, I was like, my wife did this thing. I thought it was amazing. I've never seen this before. She put, like, an Eggo and a piece of chicken on a stick. So their whole zing fest was, Grant thinks it's chicken and waffles. It's never happened before. He's never heard of it. Utterly out of context. Mm. My point was,
that would bother me. The boy,
I've
my
never
blood.
Seen anyone do that as an appetizer. Here's the clip. I thought the smartest thing she did, I had not seen this anywhere. It's probably been done.
Okay.
Chicken and waffles. And what she did was she had little mini Eggo waffles.
Yep.
These are minis with a little piece of kind of like pre-cooked fried chicken out of the oven.
Yep.
No one's ever eaten chicken and waffles before.
And there was about a minute and a half after that we just acted like didn't happen.
Exactly. Now, again, I thought the segment was tremendous. I was laughing in my car. But the idea, like, it's just so out of context. And they're like, he thought he invented it. I think they're doing the same thing to you right now is what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Now I was trying to figure out, how does this relate to me? Because that's usually how I think of most things.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making was, I don't do this enough. I don't get this enough. It's not involved in my life enough. It's kind of something we can eat. Not exactly the most friendly thing, but it's basically crab and cheese with some seasoning. And it's delicious. It's so good. And I want it more often. I also want to treat it as, it doesn't have to just be first. It can be during. You know what I mean? It can be in addition to the meal. Because it was the centerpiece of this surprise party that we had.
Would
for
you have it as an entree? Crab dip?
I'm going to do it for lunch today. It was that. It's but, that but good.
Would,
I took the rest of it.
Lunch is different. Light lunch. You know, dinner? Would you do it as your dinner? Pita chips or something?
It's not.
Crab dip?
It's not socially done typically. I think
because
I'm,
no one's been brave enough to do it yet.
I think I may be the person to pioneer this thing forward. To do it for dinner.
Is it? I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. It's not healthy at all, right? Can you get a crab dip that's decent for you, or it's terrible for you all the time?
See, again, it depends on which nutritional plan you're buying. Right?
Our plan, you and me.
There's no sugar in there. Not a lot of carbs in there. It's cheese.
A lot of cheese, a lot of heavy cream.
But it's cheese, it's cream. I mean, again, it's not good. Like, if we called Wads in it, she would say absolutely not 17 times. But my point is,
it's great, though.
It's closer to what we should be doing than what we shouldn't. It's more Atkins than it is keto.
What
Danny, question.
Go for it.
A couple weeks ago, you put out a tweet that was very clear on what you define as a meal, where you said
meat, bread, cheese, and sauce.
Right. Are you going to meet all these requirements?
I will not have bread. We don't have meals anymore.
Well,
honestly,
though, you could. You could dip bread into it.
Well,
there's your meal.
That's your standard, is to have some sort of breading. I mean, when you get it at Clyde's, you get the bread with it. My point, Thommy, is that Grant and I haven't eaten meals, unless we cheat on our diet, in years.
It's been a long time.
I basically, every time I cheat, that's when I have a meal. Otherwise,
so this
I don't
is
have
a snack.
A meal. Yes, we do nothing but snack.
Well, it is lunch. It's just not technically a meal. It's a snack.
Not by Danny's definition.
Exactly.
Right. Meals have meat, bread, cheese, and sauce. Otherwise, you're just having a snack.
One last question, if I may.
Please.
What percentage of places that you go to have crab dip on the menu as an appetizer? Because I would say it's close to 75% of the places I go to.
See, it's not as high for me. Not as high for me. Thinking of like my routines, like the town halls, the Arcuri's, the Chef Jeff's, places I love. I love them so much, but none of them have crab dip.
Chef Jeff's, by the way, I went there in Tyson's a couple of nights ago. I think I texted you.
You did.
It's great.
You did the early shift, which is what I do.
I did the Johnny Cakes Allville 5 p.m. Is that called a blue light special? What is that? That's something else.
Blue plate?
Blue plate.
Blue plate special.
What's a blue light special? Does that mean you can get a prostitute inside?
I think that was a Walmart thing.
That's right.
It was a sale thing.
Oh, different than what I said.
It's like when you go to BJ's and you eat hot dogs or in a vending or something.
Right. It was a Chris sale at Walmart.
All right. It's time very quickly for my double play. Danny, I know you'll be bored, so I'll make this very short. We had a big divide last night on The Bachelor. Tayshia and Kirpa versus Cassie and Kaylin. Who do you think? Just based on names, whose sides did I take? Tayshia and Kirpa or Cassie and Kaylin?
It's got to be the second. The first. See, remember you made fun of me because I thought the names were dumb?
Yeah. Well, now there's some dumb names.
Because there are too many young people. There are too many, like,
definitely
weird,
young.
You know, Kaylins and Swaylins and
Team
Jaylins.
Team Cassie and Kaylin all the way. Tayshia and Kirpa are accusing my two ladies of not being ready for marriage and waiting to try to be reality stars at the end of the season, which I don't think is true. Kirpa, please leave. Adults are talking. You're utterly irrelevant. I don't even know if you've kissed Colton yet. What are you doing here? I don't understand how you're still around. Oh, wait, now you're not anymore. Spoiler alert. Please go home immediately and kick rocks on your way out. So New power rankings for you. Number one, Cassie at the top of the board. Love her. Glad she stayed. Think she could be the last one standing, Danny. Number two, Hannah G. Love that she stayed out of the drama last night, stayed above the fray. She's gorgeous. The scene when her and Colton were getting massages, even a little prettier than I thought she was, even though you know that physically I've been very attracted to her all season. Hannah G, number two. Number three, I'm going to go with Kaylin. Moved up my list exponentially last night. Her intervening on Cassie's behalf, her friend on the show, I thought was massive. Showed some really good things about her character. By the way, she's from Fredericksburg, so hometown's this coming week. Downtown Fredericksburg. We're going to get some looks at some of my stomping grounds, Danny, when Kaylin has Colton in town. And number four, Tayshia, last one standing that now I don't like. I was in on you, I liked you, and then you went after Cassie last night, and I can't have that. So that's the list. That's my Bachelor update. That's all the time I have on the show for fear of ruining a lot of hard work from a lot of people, including Brendan and Tom and Danny and myself for many months. If you want to tweet me, if you want to talk about The Bachelor, at Grant H. Paulson is the best way to do so. If you want to do a podcast with me about it, I'd be happy to do that as well.
I got a lot done during that. I muted Blue Shorts.
Why did you mute Blue Shorts?
And I read about a soccer camp potentially this summer that my son might do. I'm gonna text my wife about it. So that was great for me.
Name my two favorites. See if you can do it.
Honestly, I can't do it.
Hannah G.
And Cassie.
Cassie, thank you. Cassie's my number one. Hannah G's my number two. If either of them win, I'll be very happy.
How many Hannahs are there?
There's only one Hannah left. Hannah B went home last night, who I couldn't stand. She had gone home 10 episodes ago.
So she still goes by G, even though she's the only Hannah.
Well, we'll see if it changes now, but we're at the end of the season. It's been like 18 of 24 episodes. So potentially now
How
she could just
there?
Be Hannah.
There's six more?
Well, they're two-hour increments, so there's two episodes at a time.
God.
So we have Hometowns this week, then we have The Girls Tell All, and then we have The Final Rose.
Take me away.
I hate myself, and yet I love myself. Beltway Blitz at noon, Bryce Harper. To the Phillies, potentially, you're going to be shocked by the poll results. I asked people at Grant H. Paulson. Kicked it old Paulson style.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Phillies make the winning offer for Bryce at over $300 million today. Would you match it if you were the Nats? About 1,500 people have voted. I think you'll be surprised by the results. We'll get into that in the 12 o'clock hour.
You want to drive to a Bachelor watch party? I don't know that they still are doing that, but maybe they do. Maybe
they absolutely do that.
Maybe people get together.
They do.
Why don't you love your car when you drive over there to watch a show that's filled with hate and one-upsmanship and regret, fakeness. Fakeness, not a word? Whatever point is this. Go to Ted Britt Ford. Experience love at first drive all month long at Ted Britt Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly. Drive a new 2018 Ford EcoSport. For as low as $179 per month. Or how about 0% APR for 60 months when you purchase? Drive a new 2019 Ford Escape for only $239 a month. Or an Explorer for as low as $349 per month. And how about this one? Now I'm getting into some nitty-gritty here. How about $6,000 off the MSRP on a new 2018 Ford Mustang GT? New 2018 F-150? Ted Britt's going to give you $13,500 off the MSRP or take advantage of 0% APR for 60 months. When you buy from Ted Britt Ford, a little something called Ted Britt for Life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. It comes standard with your new vehicle, including powertrain, great service loaner program. I've done it a couple times for myself when I've gotten some service done on the car. Brought it back when I was ready, not when they were ready. Battery replacement, windshield repair, and they'll do Virginia inspection on your car for life. You got to go see them. Fairfax and Chantilly and Ted Britt Ford. Tell them Danny said.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.